Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The US Department of Justice has proposed a far-reaching overhaul of Google's structure and business practices, including the sale of its Chrome browser in a bid to end its monopoly on the web search market. And this follows a landmark court ruling in August when a federal judge ruled that Google holds an illegal monopoly over search services. Well, with more on this, I'm joined now in the studio by journalist and host of For Tech's Sake podcast, Elaine Burke. Elaine, you're very welcome. Good to have you with us. So, I suppose it's suggested that, you know, by the fact that its very name is the shorthand for the online search, Google, its dominance has never been in question. And this US investigation seeks to address it, doesn't it? That's where it all starts.
And it's been a long time running as well. I mean, the investigation was first launched in 2020 and only concluded that there was what they've defined as an illegal monopoly on Google search this summer. So it took them 4 years to even conclude that, even though, you know, anyone who has done an internet search would know that Google is the dominant factor there. But they had to determine, was that an illegal monopoly in the eyes of the US antitrust law? So because that decision was made in the summer, they then have to make recommendations for what can be done now to make this not a monopoly, to change the business practices in some way. And those recommendations are exactly what you said there, to break up the company, specifically to take away the browser of Chrome from Google's company, to actually end partnerships that it has with mobile phone operators to be their default search engine. That's something that users in the EU may have already noticed has changed here, where anyone who set up a phone in recent years will have been offered the chance to decide what default search engine they wanted in their phone setup. That's not the same case in the US, because that happens in the EU because of an EU ruling on antitrust and Google. So it's kind of taken a similar approach in the US in terms of ending the partnership, which Google actually pays billions to the likes of Apple to be their default search provider, because it's worth that much to them to be that default provider.
How dominant is Google in that market?
Yeah, I mean, it's the shorthand word for conducting an internet search, and it does have significant dominance. You're talking around 90% steady market share in terms of internet search. And it would have been higher than that at certain times. But it actually has seen a very slight decline in the past year. Really, really slight. Like, it's actually under 90% at the moment. And that could be an impact of the Digital Markets Act here in Europe now offering people more choice. And also a rising kind of consumer consciousness around their data collection and practices at companies such as Google, and maybe turning to more secure platforms such as like a DuckDuckGo search engine.
And do people feel confident not using Google as their search engine?
See, I think that's the real big question here. When you turn to another search engine, do you get the same kind of results? Because Google is trading off of decades of indexing of the web and also search and user data. Now, they're actually, like, observers like myself who would be, you know, avid internet and users and platform users have been critiquing Google's search platform for a while now. It has declined in terms of quality, and how it actually survives now in the age of generative AI will be really interesting, because for years problems with Google search have been partly caused by the fact that content creators now know how to game the system. No matter how obfuscated they try to make the algorithm, people figure out how to make their content rise to the top of those pages, whether it's the best content or not for your search query. And now in the age of generative AI, it's even easier to create content around those standards. And how Google's going to manage that has been a big question. And now they have rivals such as Perplexity, which is an AI-led search engine. People turn to ChatGPT asking the kind of questions they used to turn to Google for. And actually, a really interesting search trend is that young people, when they have a question, they tend to search on TikTok for that. There's a huge rise in how they use TikTok as a search engine. So platforms themselves actually become
that's worrying
for search.
Now, the Department of Justice in the States has suggested behavioural remedies as well, one of which centres on Google's practice of paying other companies to use it. So you've explained that in part with the deals with the phone companies. Does it happen elsewhere too?
Well, that's the thing. It was common practice for Google to have these partnerships in place, but has already been stopped in the EU. Not effectively stopped. adopt. In the EU, you have a choice of default provider.
You can still pick Google if you want.
Exactly. And you're actually presented, instead of you as a user also having to be aware of the other providers, because they are so small in the market, you're talking tiny percentages of users. So we probably don't know about options like Ecosia, which is a provider out of Germany that runs what's called like an environmentally friendly search engine, tries to lower its environmental impact. There's DuckDuckGo, which is more privacy focused. There are other options out there, and people might not be familiar with them because their market share is so tiny. Mm-hmm. So the idea here, antitrust is about trying to make it so that competition can happen. So the idea here is that if Google is the default, people will just turn to it over and over again because it's, you know, they know it's effective and it's there. And you even see that in the case of Chrome. Chrome is the default browser for a lot of people if they have Android phones and things like that. And you see Safari actually has a significant market share as a browser because that's the default on any Apple systems. People will settle with the defaults when that's what's presented to them. So the market share for Chrome is only about 2/3 of the market. It's still significant, like 66%. But Safari has about 20%. And I'd say a lot of that relies on being a default. Yeah. So being a default is a strong position.
I just wonder, listening to what you said there about generative AI changing the market anyway, whether these, you know, planned legislative changes now that are the Americans are looking at, I mean, is it really going to make that much odds? Because people may have moved on anyway, if not yet, certainly in the coming 12, 24 months.
Yeah, that's a common refrain in the analysis at the moment, because the challenge with these kind of antitrust cases out of the States as well is that they take a really long time. So these recommendations have been made to the judge, the presiding judge over the case, who happens to be called Judge Mehta, which is also quite funny. But that judge will now have hearings in April 2025 and will produce a decision on those hearings on which of those recommendations should go forward in September in 2025. But then Google, if he rules that one of these decisions has to be enforced, Google is going to fight that legally. And this could be a protracted legal battle going into 2029, 2030. And in the past, if you look at how the antitrust legislation in the States has fared in breaking up companies in the past, it tried to do this with Microsoft and its dominance in the operating systems market in the late 90s, early 2000s. And after a very long legal battle, it ended with a settlement that really just opened up the market ever so slightly for other operating systems providers to be included on PC systems. They didn't succeed in actually breaking up Microsoft. The sentiment seems to be that that's probably how this one is also going to play out. And by then, Google may not have actually recovered from what is currently a decline in its services in terms of quality and in terms of use, that very, very small decline that we're seeing there. And the age of AI search engines and how they might operate remains to be seen. And that actually could mean that Google's search elements may be irrelevant by the time they've settled this case.
Right. And is this going to affect Google's investment in Chrome when it comes to AI? If they think they're going to have to sell it off, will they just maybe not bother ploughing money into it?
Yeah, so what's interesting here is Chrome could be significant to Google's AI business model in that it's looking to launch, or it's rumoured to be launching what's called an AI agent that will possibly be a Chrome plugin, like embedded into the Chrome browser and helping you to basically set a robot to do some tasks for you online, you know, maybe research different options of an item that you're trying to buy and find the best value deal for you so that you don't have to research that. They won't be able to launch that if they have to divest from Chrome. Now, it will be years before they, if that is the ruling, that they ever have to do that. But they will be thinking long term in that way. So it is a threat to their AI business model in that kind of sense. And they have said it's a threat to America's AI dominance in general if this happens. Like, they've tried to play the cards that if they try to break up Google, America's tech supremacy is actually threatened by this. So Google is going to really fight this hard and try to actually play it to the strengths of America more generally in tech as well.
Right, it's fascinating to see how it plays out. Elaine, thanks very much for coming in. That's Elaine Burke there, who's host of For Tech's Sake podcast. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.